Here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Clark Hutton, President of the Chamber of Commerce, and I've been asked to conduct this chamber forum this month and introduce the guest speaker. I don't know just where to start. They've given me a pamphlet here to look at and the...
As long as your arm.
Yes, just about as long as my arm, and that's long. This gentleman, I'm not going to say what party I'm in, but I'm backing him. I think he's probably one of the finest gentlemen that we've had representing our state in a long time. And I think that's all I'm going to say. I'd like to introduce to you the next governor of the state of Oregon, Senator Victor Attia.
It's nice to be here. It's nice to be invited back to the chamber again. I've spoken to you before, and I appreciate the opportunity very much. I was telling Claude as we were riding in, I've never seen a town that's got so many things going as you do. We were here just before the primary for your timber carnival and your parade, and we came in for your rodeo and horse race. That was very interesting. Somebody gave me the right horse to bet on, but I didn't. So we're back here for the fair. Claude tells me that the fairgrounds are rented almost every weekend through the rest of the year. I said, well, I'd get it figured out. If I just stayed here, I'd meet everybody in the state of Oregon, so that wouldn't be too bad. I want to talk, of course, about the campaign in which I'm involved and make some comments. Maybe it may be a little bit stronger than you would normally think as a result of what took place yesterday, and I'll refer to that in a bit. It's occurred to me over the years, as I've watched not only my own campaign, but been involved in other campaigns, including the President of the United States as he ran in the state of Oregon, but statewide campaigns, not my own, legislative races, helping other candidates running for office, that we as Oregonians really never quite capture what it is we're trying to do. When I say that to you, the basic fundamental of our system of government is a representative form of government. What we're supposed to do as the elector is to select one who in fact represents us. That's the idea. And each of us that run for office are supposed to come out and tell you why we would like to be whatever it is and demonstrate to you why we do in fact represent you. Now there's no question that there is no candidate that will ever come before you that's going to agree with you 100% of the time. That is not possible. And if you find one that does, then I would be highly suspicious of that person. Because you can rest assured no human being can agree with every other human being all of the time, and if they seem to be doing that, then they're not telling you the straight goods. I've also observed the process under which we get elected. And again, maybe to crystallize some of the thinking, and as you go through campaigns as the electorate, trying to decide which person you ought to choose, that we choose differently than we have. And when I say that to you, I have seen a whole series of brochures, TV ads, somehow trying to depict what that person is. It's always done in a style that's supposed to capture your imagination. For example, and you've seen them many times, the candidate with their family, children and dog. As I've stated before, shaggy dogs are in, so you have a shaggy dog. That's somehow supposed to tell you something. The classic of all time is where you see the candidate, usually with the backdrop of the state capitol or the U.S. Congress, usually striding down the steps with their coat off, slung over their shoulder, striding forward. That's supposed to tell you something. I don't know what, but it's supposed to. I remember a congressman who is now a congressman from my own district. I've used this story many times because, in fact, it's true. But He was running for the first time for office. I served with him. He was in the House of Representatives from Washington County, running for the 1st District. Bang, up comes the billboard. There he is with his coat slung over his shoulder and his shirt sleeves, striding forward. Well, I know this guy. I don't think he takes his suit off when he goes to bed. But there he is with that coat slung over his shoulder. During the primary, I was watching the ad of my now opponent, and there he was in a very homey atmosphere, sitting on the front porch with his wife. I'm not sure what that tells you. He loves his wife, but I do too. I love my wife also. What I'm really saying to you is that we need to get into the substance of what the person is all about. What record, if any, because of course we have some new people running for office, but when there is a record, what that record really is. It comes to the point of actions speak louder than words. What has that person done? Those are the kinds of things that you should perceive in order to make the right kind of choice. And you've not always been given the tools to make that kind of choice. And oftentimes the candidate will try not to give you those tools. Now this brochure to which they made reference, now I have to admit it's a little tricky when it starts off this way. Vicatia has a record as long as your arm. That happens to be a short arm, but nonetheless, there it is. But on the back, these are selected pieces of legislation in which I've been actually involved in during my years in the Oregon legislature. Not all of the 20 years, but it's representative of the kind of thing that I've been doing. Okay, that gives you some idea of who I am. I have a record and Mr. Straub has a record. And so neither one of us are devoid of a record. Both of us have one. Both of us have records to which we can point with pride or view with alarm, depends who's talking. And that's good. So now you have something to make a decision upon. I'm no mystery. Bob Straub is no mystery. Here we are as candidates asking for you to vote for us for governor of the state of Oregon. Let me also review what a governor is supposed to do. A governor is supposed to run state government. That's what they're supposed to do. Now the reason I kind of review that bidding is that, again, we get all mixed up in rhetoric or style or whatever it is, and really never get around to what the governor is supposed to do. He's supposed to be perceptive about what are the priorities of the people of the state of Oregon. He's supposed to deal with those priorities, having recognized them. He's supposed to know what state government is all about and how to deal with it. Now the fact that one happens to be a Democrat and another Republican, when it gets to this kind of a race, is really incidental information. Now I'm a Republican and you know that, and Bob Straub's a Democrat and you know that. But if I came to you asking to run your business, asking that I want to manage your business, I doubt if you would ever get around to asking whether I'm Republican or Democrat. What you're interested in is who can run my business best. And that's appropriate. And that's important. Now I happen to think that's very important what I've been telling you, because in my 20 years as an Oregon legislator, I've seen some very dramatic changes in the attitude and style of governments, both at the federal level and the state level. I'm not going to say it's all bad, but I can tell you it's mostly bad. Not bad in what we're trying to do. Not bad in the definition of what the problems are for the state of Oregon. Bad in the sense of execution. I don't know, and I haven't talked to any, although there must be some, people in the state of Oregon who do not want clean air or clean water. Most of us Oregonians do want that. Why then are we restless about the DEQ? It's not that we want dirty air and dirty water. We're restless about the way that agency of government deals with us. I've not heard anyone say there ought not to be any land use planning. What then is the problem with the LCDC? The problem is that the way that agency of government lays it on us. I've not heard anyone say we ought to have unsafe working conditions. And yet, OSHA lays it on us, and we're restless about it. That is what I call management of government in the terms that we can understand. And when I said there's been a change in government, in the style of governance, in the attitude of government itself, I'm telling you that we are being run by elitists who believe they know better than we do. They don't want us fooling around with government, getting in their way, and we're going to get their way whether we like it or not. And that is not a democracy. All right, I've told you about what I believe in. I believe in the system of government very much, and I believe in it enough to want to do something about making it better. I believe that we're going far afield in the way we approach government, and that it is getting away from us. We the people, they the government. And it actually is ours. It should not be a we they attitude. So now let's get into recent events. This election of the governor of Oregon is a very, very important thing, and it's important in terms of the future of the state of Oregon. I believe that. Not just because I'm the candidate. I believe that we have to stop the trend that's going on in our state. We have to restore people's confidence in their government. We have to. Not that I'm all enamored about me or us in government. I'm enamored about our system of government, and I want it to perpetuate. During the opportunities in our bicentennial celebration, I had several chances to speak, talking about the glowing history and the things that this nation has done and the fact that we hadn't arrived at 200 years of our system of government. But I'm the only one that I know of, someone certainly must have, but I'm the only one that I know of that talked about a tricentennial. And in fact, would there be people in the United States and in Oregon who would be able to celebrate 300 years of our system of government? And I don't have that much confidence. But what I really want to tell you now is that here is Vicatia asking to represent you, asking for your vote as governor of the state of Oregon. Bob Straub is asking for your vote as governor of the state of Oregon. And you should ask the question, which one of us deserves to be governor? Which one of us really speaks for you? And I'm going to take one segment and give you a chronological step, and I'll let you make your decision as to who, in fact, which one of us, in fact, is listening to the people, which one of us truly knows what the people's priorities are. And I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you facts, public facts, not just anything I guessed. So let me go through it, because it's important, I think, as a demonstration of each one of us and how we can serve you as governor. Last session, I introduced a bill to return the $170 million surplus which the state of Oregon had. We introduced the bill that would return it back to the taxpayer. Mr. Straub said, that is irresponsible. Last session, I introduced a bill to soften the effect of inflation. You're beginning to hear that word now, indexing, because more people are beginning to talk about it. But I had a bill in last session to do just that. Now, indexing is a fancy word, but in Oregon, we benefit to the tune of $140 million just because of inflation. State government does. That was 2 years ago. More now. And that occurs because people get raises related to the cost of living, and immediately they have more money to pay taxes upon, or they get bumped into a new tax bracket, all because they're trying to keep pace with inflation. And the state of Oregon taxes them on that. Now they get hit twice, by the state of Oregon and by wherever it is you go to acquire food, clothing, whatever else. Inflation hits at both ends. I said that's not fair. At least we can cure that. We didn't have a hearing on the bill, and there was absolute silence from the governor of the state of Oregon. I introduced a bill that asked for a constitutional amendment that the federal government would not be able to operate in the deficit. That is what Oregon has now. We didn't have a hearing on that bill, and the governor was absolutely silent. The governor did say in 1977 session that his number one priority was the Domestic and Rural Power Authority, making a public utility out of the state of Oregon. I'm not here to tell you that that was not an important item, but I am here to tell you that was not the number one item among Oregonians. Some more history. After the session, I had a chance to make my appraisal of the last session of the legislature, as I've done for many years before, and I said that property tax relief was the number one issue, and it was a disappointment that the Oregon legislature and the governor didn't act on that. Now understand, and I can expect the governor to take a real shot at me by saying, Vic, you've been in the legislature 20 years, how come you haven't done something? Understand that I have been a minority member of the Oregon legislature all of my 20 years. And last session, there were 6 Republican senators and 24 Democrats. Now, I'm not going to berate the legislature. I'm not running against them. I'm running against the governor. But I said that that was a disappointment to me. And that was one of the failures of the Oregon legislature. Then I started to run for governor of Oregon in the primary. And all during the primary, I said that property tax relief was the number one issue among Oregonians. And I finally concluded by saying what I would do about trying to solve that problem, and I offered a solution, and it concluded with a limitation. The governor of Oregon said nothing about property tax relief. Nothing. Recently, as you know, over 200,000 people in Oregon put a petition measure before us, ballot measure number 6. Regardless of what the words say, that says from over 200,000 Oregonians, less government spending, and property tax relief. Over 200,000 signatures is a new world record I don't think will ever be exceeded again. What does the governor say? He immediately says, I'm against ballot measure number 6, I'm against the words, I'm against the principle, and I'm going to fight it as strong as I can. That's what our governor said. Remember, he said he's against the principle and the language. And the principle is more important than the language. And he said publicly now, he's against it. Then there was a silence. Nothing. Last week, I went into Roseburg on Thursday into a radio station. fellow at the radio station gave me a piece of paper and he said, "We just got this off the wire. What do you think?" And I read it and I couldn't believe what I was reading. Dateline Salem. The governor had taken a trip of 7 Oregon communities in 3 days. He comes back to Salem and he says, "The people are more uptight about taxes," and he was surprised. He said, and it's a quote, "Property tax is more prominent in the minds of the people than I thought." This was last week. Rip Van Winkle finally woke up. And he's asking to represent you, a person who must have had earwax clear out to here. So he took this trip. Incidentally, as far as I know, the only trip that he's taken in this campaign, I haven't seen him anywhere. He hasn't been out talking to the people at all, except for this trip, and he found out something. Why not talk to people more often? Why not find out what's going on? Well, anyway, he found out that being on the wrong side about measure number 6 was a mistake. Just found it out. So yesterday, he comes on the air, gets all kinds of media attention, and says that he's working on his plan. He's going to share it with the legislative leaders, and I presume I will be one of them. And if we concur, he will call a special session. Now, where in the world has he been? Why did he have to wait for not the 200,000 signatures? That didn't even bother him. His 3-day, 7 community trip, that's where he finally saw people face to face and listened to them and found out he was saying the wrong thing. I ask you, now it's a matter of opinion. Don't you get a feeling he's trying to get off the hook? Don't you get a feeling he's trying to scramble back on board, having made a terrible mistake? I believe that's the case. I believe that we're witnessing a tragedy in state government, a tragedy of an elected official who's supposed to be the leader of the state of Oregon who hasn't been listening to the people. I suppose it's a matter of campaign strategy. But I want to tell you about Vic Atiyah. And I'm going to tell you about 2 weeks in the life of Vic Atiyah. I'll tell you a lot more, but I can't remember that far back. Last week, we were in Corvallis, Monmouth, and Dallas. Grants Pass, Medford, Roseburg, Coos Bay, Bend, Madras, and back home. This week we have been to Prairie City, John Day, Fossil, Condon, Burns, Ontario, here. Just tomorrow I will be in Medford, Grants Pass, Eugene, and back home. And people ask me, what are you doing? How come you're coming to these places? And I said, a governor is governor of all of Oregon, not just Salem or Portland or Eugene or Medford. And that it's important that a person who's asking to represent the people of Oregon go out and really genuinely try to meet the people of Oregon. Our governor has not done that. I'll give you another opinion. I'll tell you when there's facts and opinion. I believe, because I've not seen him anywhere, that he's going to try to sell us on him through television, radio, and newspaper. We might easily see a shirt-sleeved Robert Straub walking through the field. We certainly will see him sitting on the front porch with his wife. I'm sure he'll be standing in front of a school telling us about what he has done about basic school support. I can visualize him now with a hard hat saying about all the industry he's brought to the state of Oregon. All the while he's sitting there developing this fast, neat media campaign, I'm out all over the state of Oregon. So who do you want for governor? Someone that's already identified the people's priorities, not just since the 200,000 signatures, but early last year and before. Who do you want as governor of the state of Oregon? Someone that is trying to listen to people. And I told this area and other areas in the primary that I was going to start listening posts to get people closer to and in communication with state government. Or someone that locks himself in and decides to sell himself to us as a governor through the media. Who do you want as governor of the state of Oregon? Would you like to have someone as governor of the state of Oregon that knows the intimate details of government? 20 years of hard work, and that's me. All of the things that have been instituted of drama in the state of Oregon, I know about in detail. Or someone who even today does not. I feel no compunctions about coming to Oregonians and asking to be governor. None. I have confidence that I can serve Oregon in a way it ought to be, in a way that you would like to have it run. That's the important thing. I'm not egotistical. I don't really need a title of governor. I don't, honestly don't need it. When I come back to you as governor of Oregon, and I expect that I will, I really don't want you calling me governor. I'm still Vic Atiyah, because I don't need that title. But what I need is what the title of governor can do for us in the state. And that's important. And that really is important. So, I will need your help if you like what you hear. Not just, wouldn't it be grand if Vic were elected? There are two kinds of people in our society, the active and the interested. And I've so often run across the interest in what you say, gee, wouldn't it be neat if? Now that's the extent of the participation. The active are different though. They actually get out and work for or against a candidate. And they work at it. And they're the ones that have been winning. So we have a chance now, I believe, obviously now is an opinion, we have a chance to change the whole attitudinal presentation of government by this election. If I'm not elected, then what we have had for the last 4 years will continue. The deaf ear, the we know what's best for you syndrome, a government not responsive to us as Oregonians, not concerned about the delivery of services to people, mouthed yes, but performance, no. I can promise you few things, but I will promise you a dramatic change in your government. It will become your government. Because I want it to be your government. Because I want our system of government to continue. Thank you very much.
About 5 minutes according to my watch, whether that's right or not, if anybody would like to ask the senator any questions. Yes?
I'd like to know exactly how he was going to return the tax money and what the administrative cost would be to do that.
The question is how I would return the tax dollar and what would be the administrative cost. The actual formula, I'm not exactly sure, but I would tell you that right now I believe that there is an existing formula that will work, and I will describe it to you. And the reason I can tell you that is that I was involved in drafting the legislation and I carried it on the floor of the Senate. At the present time, tax dollar is returned to all the taxing districts immediately, and of course that was our intention at the time we passed the bill, on a percentage basis. there are some that have small percentages. And let me try to explain a little bit better. Prior to the change in the law, you lived in a taxing district. And so the tax collector would wait till they got your money, and they would distribute your money to your taxing district. There was a tremendous delay in the delivery of money. So we changed it. We said, as the dollars come in, we're not going to regard from whom they come. The tax collector is not going to have to worry about that. Every district within a county has a percentage to which they're entitled of that tax dollar. And so, as soon as it comes in, goes out on that basis. I can perceive very easily that the money will be returned through the county, through the tax collector, on the same basis, without any administrative cost at all. That one system is already in place. We just have to use that same system to get that money back. It would be just like somebody else paid the bill. Instead of you, it would be state government sending money in. That's the way I plan to do it. I also plan, and you didn't ask the question, that all agencies of state and local government would uniformly tighten their belts. State government in my budget would reduce its proposed spending. I'm going to tell you 10%. That's only it's not scientific. I'm giving you an idea of how I approach it. We would then raise some money, and it's going to be uniformly, say, 10%. We would then free up some money, and we would send that back to the local governments. We'd ask them to spend 10% less from what their projected budget would have been, and that means all of us would tighten our belts a little uniformly, and I think that's the way people want it done.
Jake, can you tell us how you're going to vote on ballot measure 6?
Not yet, but I will this week. I want to tell you why, however, there's been a delay. It's easy for me to say I'm for 6 or against 6. That's no problem. Matter of fact, that's what the governor did. He said he was against it and he was going to fight it. I'm going to propose, actually, when I make my decision, and I've been working on it, and I want you to know that I have been studying it. No staff has been studying it for me. I have been studying it. I've delayed waiting for the opinions of the Attorney General. I've now read them once, I might add, in the car from Portland to Corvallis. That's the only chance I've had to read them. But anyway, I've waited for that to come to a final decision, and I'm now closing in on it. But I'm not only going to say, for example, I'm 4-6, but these are the problems, and this is how I would propose to solve them. And that's what I've been waiting on. I have to come up with it. Or if I may say I'm against it, here's my alternative. So it isn't just a yes or no. It's a yes or a no with some kind of an alternative attached to it, and that takes a little bit more thought. But it will be this month as soon as I can. It might be next week. Obviously, there's only about less than 2 weeks in this month. In any event, very shortly, I'll be saying where I am. But I still say it's more important who's going to be governor of the state of Oregon in January, regardless of how I'm going to vote on this bill. Who do you want sitting in the governor's seat? One who believes in that principle or one who does not?
Are you in favor of a special session of legislation to draft an alternative Proposition 6 to put on the ballot?
No, I'm not. I've said I would support a special session if the responsible sponsors of ballot measure number 6 would come and say, look, there's some problems. Would you please solve them for it? That, I thought, is reasonable. If we do it any other way, it appeared to be what it is, and that's hypocritical. Thank you very much.
Senator, for coming. Thank all of you for coming. Don't forget the fair this week, and thank you.
Let's see, which one here?